Now, back to the Frank DeCaro Show on Sirius OutQ 149.
Don't tell me not to buy the exact.
I'm not saying anything, and there I am. I could so be home now. I'm just
good. Frank Bot.
If we could get the Frank Bot to do the interviews.
You're totally expendable.
It would be, I am, as it turns out. Thank you.
Doria?
I'm gonna. Wait, that was me again, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
that was the Frank.
I'm scared by all that. Anyway, and I think we've scared our guests already. I feel, and you know,
I wouldn't blame them.
No, they've made a movie. You know, they're starring in a movie that it deals with a brutal topic of hate crimes, and we're more frightening than anything in the movie. I think that's it. We're scaring you this early in the morning.
Oh, I'm terrified.
I know you're having the what the hell did I get up this early to talk to this? What am I now? A jumbo hairy arm Mary? Is that what
yes,
it is?
Frank.
Okay, yeah, that would be me.
Cooch.
We're going to be talking to Seth Peterson and Chad Donella from the movie Hate Crime, which is going to be shown here at Outfest. What night are you guys is the showing?
Friday.
Next Friday.
July 15th.
At what time, Doria? Go on. Say it. Quick.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Thank you. You guys are good.
8 o'clock. 8 o'clock Friday.
Tell people a little bit about Hate Crime, the movie.
You want me to tell
them? Yeah, go ahead. You start.
I have to do it?
This is
yeah.
Seth.
Okay. Hi, I'm Seth. Well, the movie's about a couple... A couple of lovers, they're about to have a marriage, and they're torn apart by a horrible tragedy that needs to be made right.
Yeah,
and it's his fault.
And it's, well, there's the ending of the movie. That's it. Okay, they're empty.
So we have the good guy and the bad guy in the studio here with us.
Yes.
Yeah. And did you guys know each other before that or no? I mean, did you?
We didn't. I actually ended up doing. I did a guest star on Seth's show. Providence, like 3 years before, 2 years before, and we met briefly.
Yeah, lean right in there so people can hear there anyway.
But you didn't exist. You were like, weren't you a figment of someone's imagination
it's
on the show?
That's true.
You weren't really there.
It was sort of a Beautiful Mind ripoff, and I was the Beautiful Mind.
Did you have to rip off anything or not?
No.
I'm considering our audience here. I'm just thinking, yes.
Yeah, on not on NBC.
Not on NBC. Oh,
stole
right.
Tom Cruise's
Sorry.
Jacket.
Which you can win anyway. We'll you know what, we'll just give it to you guys. It'll
okay.
be fun. Yeah.
You know, I actually live right on the back lot there. I get to look down at the airplane set from War of the Worlds every day.
We saw that. It's terrifying. We Dory's friend works at Amblin, is it?
DreamWorks.
And so we got a little cart tour. She stole us a golf cart and we toured all through that set. It's frightening to look at.
Yeah. If you look right up at the top of the hill, I live right there.
How cool. Over the that must be lovely when that's what your front yard
it's
looks
like. It's like Vegas.
The back.
Yeah. City Walk is all lit up 24 hours a day.
And there are constant explosions from the stunt shows and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They actually installed a little, you can put like a quarter in and see Seth's house from the Universal. I don't know if you knew that.
No, it's like the Truman Show.
You get at least 3 cents of that quarter, I think,
at least.
It could work out.
I'm trying to
nice.
Bump it up a little bit, but yeah.
You need a good lawyer. We'll talk.
Oh, sweet. Excellent.
Now, the movie Hate Crime, tell us also, I don't know anything about this, the director, although he's from Texas, which mm-hmm. where the movie is set. What can you tell us a little bit about him?
Well, he's a first-time writer-director. And
Tommy Stovall.
And he decided to make this project, and he did. He just made it. And I guess we cast it about a year ago.
Yeah.
And we shot it, and it's already, and it's out there.
Yeah. What was the shoot like? I mean, because it's like, the idea of coming to work and having, today I'll play someone whose lover has been in a coma, right? And brain dead in a coma. Or I'll go and I'll be a total raging homophobe. And it's kind of, that's the what you have to do that day. What the hell is that like for those of us who don't act?
It's a pretty strange occupation.
No, because I mean, it's different than showing up and saying, today we're doing the number where I sing on the rooftop. You know, I mean, that's a little different day than I'm going to go be a homophobe and someone whose lover was nearly...
Well, for Chad, it might have been a little different because he plays somebody that's really not, you know, like the character that he plays in the movie.
I thought you were going to go the opposite way with that. I really do. I think it was Chad, who is a raging homophobe?
He's a raging homophobe. Psychopath.
It's an easy job for him. Typecasting.
For me, it was just another guy that I, you know, that I've played, who's been in a situation that I've been in similar situations. So, you know, it wasn't too difficult for me.
Yeah. But do you end up taking it home? I mean, how do you not take home when you've got the most emotional...
Well, you know, I stayed there in Texas while we shot the film, so I didn't go home. I took it to the hotel with me.
That's what I mean. Yes,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, you live and you breathe it for the while, and then usually for depending on how long you've been shooting, you live it and you breathe it for another couple of weeks or so until you shake it off and you move on to the next thing.
Yeah. What attracted you guys to a movie about this topic?
What did, Chad? What attracted you to be the psychopathic freak that I see up on the screen?
I just found the conflict really interesting in the person, and also I think religious bias and bias in general is something that needs to be spoken about.
Now, your character is the son of a homophobic Baptist minister who has an unhealthy influence on his son.
Yeah, and there's a lot about that, a lot of sort of fathers and sons and passing on of ideologies that probably don't really belong to the son, but is sort of given to him by his father, which I think probably everyone in the world can relate to that idea. And so I found that pretty fascinating and worthwhile talking about and exploring. You know, there's a lot of insecurity, I think, that goes along with bias, because if you have an opinion and it's really your opinion, you don't really need to make everyone else believe it. But I think... I think certain segments of not only religion, but society and culture and different countries in the world like to infringe their beliefs on everybody, because maybe they don't necessarily believe in them. Maybe they're a little worried that what they believe in isn't quite true.
I hadn't thought of it that way. I don't understand that we're talking basically the sort of live and let live idea, which we all aspire. A lot of us aspire to. If you believe what you want, I'll believe what I want over here.
Yeah.
I'll do my thing and you do yours and it's fine. I mean, I think that's the world a lot of us would like to live in.
Yeah.
Sadly, it's.
And for me, I'll pretty much do any movie. So there you go.
They found Seth with the quarter telescope.
Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, you come on down here.
Yeah, I'm available.
Fun, so.
Of course.
How long did you guys spend in Texas shooting the movie?
Like a month.
I spent a month, a little more than a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. And had you ever, when you go off for a month to somewhere, had you spent a lot of time in Texas ever?
I'd never been to Texas before, and it was it's a beautiful area in downtown in Dallas. It's gorgeous. It's a little creepy. Like, you go down in the streets and there's nobody. Like, you go downtown and there's nobody there. There's no garbage. There's no people. There's no cars. Like, on a Monday afternoon and you're walking around and it's like a ghost town.
It's 28 Days Later, kind of a little bit like that movie.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a little spooky.
But it's beautiful there. It's wicked hot, though.
Yeah.
And we shot a lot of the hospital stuff in an actual hospital that was abandoned for years, and they had no air conditioning, no air. So that was pretty challenging.
I want to be an actor just based on what you just said. I want to go and spend a lot of time in an unair-conditioned abandoned hospital in Texas.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I want to do.
Woo!
That's rough. That's right. This is why you all are so spoiled, really. The
actors and you couldn't open
so
the windows
spoiled,
either. No windows.
Now, have you shown the film at? Has the film been seen at other film festivals?
Yes.
So far, and what's up? Have you gone and done the whole, like?
I've gone to a few of them, and it's won a couple of awards already. It went to Sedona. It's been in New York, and it's been in Florida. They won something in Florida. So we've been having a lot of success and a lot of fun.
Yeah. Do people get all gushy and I mean, I would assume that it people really, who've been touched by hate crimes in a very real way want to come and talk to you as well.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of people that have had similar situations, and people that I know personally that have gone and seen it and been really affected by it. It's a powerful movie and it's got an incredible message. So you get to talk to a lot of people that, you know, they're really happy that, you know, something like this has been brought out to light, and that they get to see, you know, something that really affects them in a personal way.
Yeah. No, because I mean, it's as gay people, a lot of us live with the fear of you know, even in New York City, I'm very like, don't hold my hand until we get to know our neighborhood, you know, kind
right.
of thing. Mm. And a lot of straight people don't have to think about that in most places, you know, and they really are you know, and so you kind of live with that fear all the time.
Right.
You know, although I guess, you know what, now that I say that, a lot of people live with hate crime and they're so not gay and, you
right.
know, and they have to, you know, deal with that certainly. a lot. But coming with the presentation here, it's going to be July 15th at 8 p.m. at the Regent Showcase. And we want to tell people they can go to outfest.org, outfest.org, and also go to hatecrimemovie.com, and they can learn more about that. What is the next kind of thing coming up for you guys? What's going on?
Well, I just finished a pilot that's with George Wendt from Cheers, and if you remember Norm,
sure,
from Cheers, called As Seen on TV, and we're just shopping that around a little bit, and I'm doing a lot of live theater around town, at the Acme Theater, which is right across the street from the Showcase Theater, in between, I guess, Beverly and yeah, right by Pink's.
You know, on La Brea, right?
Yeah, right on La Brea.
Give a big landmark.
Yes.
Right by the hot dog spot.
And the Pig. In between the Pig and Pink's. Those are the two greatest places to eat.
I was just at the Acme for the What's My Line live on stage.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier this week, the host of that was on our show.
Yeah, we do a show there every week.
What show do you do there?
I do a live improv show there. Yeah. We have a name of the group is actually called To Be Determined. So we haven't quite figured it out yet.
Oh, I thought that was the name.
But what's the name? Yeah, what's the name of the group?
TBD.
TBD. It's not open the restaurant. The name closed. You know, it's like it's not a good idea. You
know,
be careful. You know,
I'm not the leader of the group. I just kind of follow them around every now and again.
Did you have a vote in the name?
Yes.
Did you vote no?
I voted against that name.
Well, what are you going to do?
What did you want to call it?
I don't know anything else. The improv group. Was one of the
in between the pig and the
hot
dog.
Yeah, in between the pig and the and
funny
the,
funny in between the pig and the hot dog.
Yeah, but it's actually an incredible group. We've had a lot of fun. We've been doing really well.
Is it as terrifying as I would imagine?
Yes,
it is.
It is. You don't know what to do.
I asked a question that required a one word answer. There, didn't I?
Yes.
Okay. My fault.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Improv boy.
Yes.
Okay.
It's terrifying. It's terrifying.
That was great.
Now, I have to ask you, in the movie Hate Crime that you both are starring in, I want to tell people we're talking to Seth Peterson and Chad Donella, there's an animal very near and dear to my heart. There's a Boston Terrier in that movie.
Yes.
And because the character who plays your boyfriend,
Trey goes
out to walk the dog,
mm-hmm,
and doesn't come back, but the dog does.
Yes.
And it's the cutest Boston Terrier. Please tell us a Boston Terrier story, perhaps, or something.
Well, hopefully the dog will be there. She's the cutest dog, Phoebe. And she is, she wears human clothing and dresses, tutus, little crowns. And she's almost always at the premieres and come to almost every single film
she's
festival.
Really
and
great
she's,
in the Q&A.
And she kind of sounds like a pig. I could tell you how she sounds. She sounds like this. And that's how she breathes. She sounds, I don't know, maybe, does
that's
your
my
sound
dog
like,
sounds
does your
exactly
sound like,
the same. That, okay, was the best Herman impression I've ever heard, actually. Right. Yes, that's very true.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. I love her. I have a picture of her in my phone.
They're very good. I just don't like when people say, it's like, oh, that dog is so funny. Look. It's like, no, don't say that. It's like, would you go up to someone and say, God, your kid's ugly? You know, I mean, you just would never say that to
her. Right. Well, I have hairless cats, actually. Right now, I have six hairless cats. So anybody want to talk about funny looking, don't say it. I have six. Well, four of them are kittens that, you know, we're giving out. So I'll end up with three. But right now I have six.
I'm sorry to break in, but I don't want to leave people with a mistaken impression that Hate Crime is about a Boston Terrier, which, you know, give Frank enough rope, that's what he'll make it.
It's about a super dog that takes revenge.
Apparently wears tutus.
It's a vigilante
like a
Boston Terrier. But I'm really intrigued because this whole religious right thing is a big theme in the film. And do you feel that the film deals with this in a fair way, or are Baptists going to be up in arms protesting, which I think would be good for the movie? But how do you think that your average born-again Christian would react walking in and seeing this film?
Strongly, I hope. And there's been a lot on both sides of the fence. I've seen a lot of people that come up to Tommy after some of the viewings and say, that is just insane. Nothing like that would ever happen. That's just crazy. You're wrong. And, you know, some people are upset by it. And a lot of people also on the flip side of the same coin come up to Tommy and say the same exact things happen. Something so similar to that it's scary has happened to me. And so, you know, you get a lot of strong reactions, but it's a pretty powerful statement.
Well, it's a frightening idea that someone would think that these kinds of things don't happen.
Right.
You know, it's just, I mean, how many highly publicized, you know, Matthew Shepard type cases do we need to hear about mm-hmm. before people believe that they actually
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Is it loosely based on a real situation, or is it sort of cobbled together from various hate crimes that the director or writer has heard about, or
it's fictionalized.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the characters in the story, I think, were maybe based off people that Tommy knew at one time. But mm-hmm. the actual crime itself is fictionalized. And again, this stuff does happen, but this isn't representative of a mass. And I think that's what anybody who's a Christian or who does believe in, you know, does kind of follow that religious belief needs to understand, is that there are people that do this, but this film is by no means saying that everybody that is a Baptist in the South does this. But this does happen, and so it is something that needs to be spoken about.
But it is, and it's something that I guess it's everyone's responsibility, though, regardless of whether you're the person actually, even if you're not the person perpetrating the crime, if you're sort of, you know, aiding and abetting, do you think that if you're aiding and abetting that kind of thinking, that you've, maybe ought to think about what you're believing?
Or hire a lawyer.
What do you mean? Can you say again?
No, I'm just wondering. Do you think the
minister has just as much culpability in this case
absolutely.
As does his son?
Absolutely. But again, that's that minister's or that character's interpretation of the Bible versus what the Bible is.
Yeah. Well, it's like the whole God hates fags.
Exactly.
Thing.
Exactly. Yeah. That's an interpretation of those words, and that's coming from a person that is probably not so right in their head.
Yeah, because that's just kind of, no, he doesn't. That's my answer to that. Whenever I see the God hates fags things, oh, that's just, no.
No, yeah, of course not.
But if you read that site, if you really go through and read that site, because they have a frequently asked questions page,
right.
And they talk about the people who write in and say, but Jesus is love and blah, 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 and they go by the First Amendment, vengeful God, interpretation of the Bible, and that's where they feel that they are justified.
Well, I think that's also why there's many different sects of that religion that all are based from the same piece of writing, because people sort of interpret it in very different ways and decided to preach it and believe in it in very different ways.
Yeah.
So there are definitely some people that take it the wrong way, or the way that, you know, allows them to walk around hating other people, which I don't think is correct at all. But then there's a lot of people that don't. So, I mean,
I'd never heard of that group before until I did the movie, and I actually had no idea that they'd exist, and then did a little research, and I was pretty amazed. And I mean, living in Los Angeles, you don't really see a lot of people like that. Usually, you know, people on the East and the West are a lot of more open-minded, intelligent people. Strangely enough, I had a friend that was in the film come visit me a few weeks back, and I took him out on a tour, just a little bit of L.A., and we went down Hollywood Boulevard, and there they were, right on Hollywood Boulevard with their signs. And, I mean, I was, like, just flabbergasted. And there was a whole group of people around. It was right outside the Kodak Theater, and people were just screaming and yelling and, you know, getting really upset. And I went up to the front and I asked this woman, where are you from? Why are you here? Isn't there a place for you guys to be and leave us, like, intelligent, open-minded people alone? And, I don't want to say the state that she was from, but it definitely wasn't from here. Let's just say closer to the middle.
Yeah.
And, and everybody just started laughing, and we're like, yeah, go back, turn around, go back.
And they screw it up for the groovy people in the middle, because you don't hear from them. They're off having lives.
Oh, yeah, they're off enjoying themselves. And, they're out there, and they need to be talked about.
Yeah, absolutely, because it doesn't get covered.
Yeah,
it doesn't get covered in the media. This stuff goes on every week, and it doesn't get covered. It doesn't get covered in the news, not even the local news.
No.
Guaranteed, every single week in Los Angeles, there's something going on.
No,
and people don't talk about it.
Unless it's a attractive white girl who disappears mysteriously for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And Doria was not there at the time. That's all I'll say right now.
No, Susan Blakely is in this movie. And that I was really thrilled to hear, because I she was one of those people I had a little baby dyke crush on growing up. But Rich Man, Poor Man, she was stunning.
Still
was
looks
like
good,
working
too.
With her?
Looks cute.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Looks great. And she's phenomenal in the film as well. She's got a couple great scenes. Bruce Davison is also in the film.
Oh,
and
he's amazing.
He's just a powerhouse of an actor.
Great. He's been acting a really long time.
Yes, he has.
And,
He plays the minister, mm-hmm. the Baptist minister.
Was he in Willard, or am I out of my head? I'm out of my head.
We're getting a nod. Yes, I believe.
Yes.
Both. Yes to both.
Yes to I'm out of my head, and he was in Willard. Yeah.
You do
yeah.
have
okay.
hairy arms.
I do. I'm a hairy arm Mary. I do
really
think
are.
We lie. I'm the hairiest person who doesn't drive a cab. I really am.
The robot's malfunctioning.
It's very true.
The robot is freaking out. Quickly, get some oil.
Oh, anyway, we'll have a fry. Good evening. We're talking to Seth Peterson and Chad Danella from the new movie Hate Crime, which is going to be playing this the 15th, this week from
July 15th at 8 p.m. at the Regent Showcase here in Los Angeles as part of Outfest. You can go to outfest.org, O-R-G, to get tickets.
And it's between the hot dog and the pig. Anyway, that's what we learned before. We
but you can also you can view the trailer online if you go to hatecrimemovie.com. You can read a synopsis, get the cast bios, and also see other places that the film has been shown and will be shown in the future. Hopefully, it'll be updated periodically to add all that information.
Yeah, definitely. Guys, thanks so much for dropping in here and talking to us.
Thank you.
I don't know if you caught this, Frank, but we do have a song from the movie that, to take us out to the break. It's by Ebony Tay, and it's a song called Jesus by 45.
Jesus was crucified by 45.
Jesus was crucified by 45. Jesus by 45, apparently. So this is by Ebony Tay from Hate Crime, the movie.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
To believe Jesus was crucified. By 45. Why me? I'm just one seat left out to bleed. I'm bound for hell, you see. With all that surrounds me, well, it rings up.
Q 149.